I'd like to welcome everyone to the meeting. Hopefully everyone can hear me clearly. Everyone should ensure their mobile telephones are turned off or switched to silent, and the use of mobile devices for recording is not permitted. Members of the public should not speak during the meeting and may be temporarily excluded for discussion of in-committee items. I would remind members of their obligations under the Councillor's Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which may have an item of business before the committee today. If you have such an interest, please either declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the chamber for the duration of the discussion on that item and should not take part in the vote. You will then be invited back to join the meeting once the discussion of that item has ended. There may be some members in attendance virtually, and it has been agreed that all members in the chamber are brought to speak first on an issue before any remote delegates may speak. Therefore, if you are attending remotely, please use the chat facility to indicate your wish to speak, and I will bring members in once those in the chamber have already spoken. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I have no chairperson's remarks. Do we have apologies or declarations of interest? Okay. All right then. So, moving on to the action sheet, I had one item on the action sheet myself, which just... Pardon?
Declarations of interest.
Oh, I've done that already. No. Declarations of interest?
None, Chair.
None indicated. Okay. So, moving on to the action sheet, I had one item there, which was arising from my own notice of motion in the previous meeting to see what we could do to have the item of the documentation shared with other councils. And I was suggesting maybe a rewrite or looking at it to see what was sensitive or not sensitive from a financial point of view.
Chair, I'll come back directly with an update on that matter.
Okay. Any other items from the action sheet? Apparently not. Do we need to propose and second that?
So proposed, Chair.
Thank you, Terry. Anybody else? Okay, Councillor Jackson. Okay, so moving on to the next business, the officer report on the motion on street lighting.
Thank you, Chair, and the purpose of this report is to facilitate discussion on the notice of motion received from Councillor Finn, as deferred from the Council meeting of the 3rd of February 2025, in accordance with Standard Order 16.1.16 regarding street lighting, and this report is for decision. The notice is as stated in section 1.2 of the report. Key issues are highlighted in the report. In Northern Ireland, the statutory responsibility for street lighting falls with the Department of Infrastructure, specifically for the provision, maintenance and operation of street lighting on public roads. It is understood that DFI roads have specific criteria that are considered regarding the location and design of street lighting schemes. And this would include consideration of energy efficiency and environmental impact. Members are asked to note the report and approve that officers would write to the Department of Infrastructure Roads to advise of concerns in relation to areas that have little or no street lighting and request that a scoping exercise is undertaken to identify areas that could avail of additional street lighting across the district. Thank you, Chair.
Does Councillor Finn want to say anything before we move on to decisions?
Yes, please. Yes. Just as ever, say thank you very much to Sinead and to Connor for bringing the report. I understand that street lighting does fall to the Department of Infrastructure and knew that before this motion was brought, but I think there is an onus, and I'm thinking about particularly areas like our public green spaces. I can name, if I'm thinking about this as an example, both Heather Park and Kilmorey Park within Uri are councilable facilities that have absolutely no street lighting in them at all, and I think we as a council need to be able to have a look at our facilities as well. So I welcome the fact that we are going to be writing to the Department of Infrastructure, and we can do that if there are, and I'm sure other councillors have our...
Apologies for jumping in, but the sound has disappeared from home.
Can you hear us now?
Yeah, that's better. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Finn.
Yes, it was just on the point that within those green spaces, I think particularly we are seeing a lot more people undertaking active activities within our green spaces. I'm thinking particularly of running groups across the city that may potentially want to use places like the parks to go through, dog walkers, young families, and as much as it's a beautifully sunny evening this evening, in the wintertime you could walk through some of those areas that are council-owned at 4:30 or 5:00, and it is, I think, when we look at women's safety across the district, an issue that we need to look at. I think along with that, in terms of green space, there have been a number of complaints about fly tipping, and I think while that doesn't, while streetlight might not necessarily solve the problem, it will help to deter people who are thinking, I'm going to go into one of our council green spaces under the cover of darkness, throw away whatever I want, and then our fencing teams are continually having to work those issues. So I welcome the report and want to thank the officers for undertaking it, but would also like to ask that we can have an open exercise across council-owned facilities that feeds in with all other councillors, because there are, I'm sure, areas in other districts that people would like to see more street lighting in and work towards getting better street lighting across those council facilities. So that's everything for me.
Are you proposing the report?
I'm happy to propose the report with my amendment added, that council also look at their areas for scoping, but yes, I'm happy to propose that with that amendment, if that's okay.
Do we have a seconder before we get a reply? Okay.
Just response through the chair. Amended notice then of motion. So S&E committee can come back in relation to those park areas that have been highlighted. I just wanted to point out at this stage that any lighting scheme would be subject to business case approval, and in addition, environmental impact assessment, given any potential impacts on biodiversity.
Do you want in?
Yep.
Okay. You're next.
All right, thank you. Right, I totally agree with Councillor Finn on the lack of street lighting in areas. It's nearly like a double-edged sword, because the park, especially up at Kilmurry Park, has recently been placed there, and we worked with Playboard NI, and they advised against lighting the park because it raises the antisocial levels of behaviour within the areas. And also with Heather Park, they said we went to crime prevention on that, and they said close the park at night time. And they've made the gates smaller on it. But I do agree there are a lot of areas in and around. I can only speak about Newry. There has been even an issue where the Department of Infrastructure a number of years ago removed street lighting from rear entries to homes within the area, and we're leaving elderly people there who are now in fear because there's no, but so it needs looked at in quite a wide scope, I feel. But thank you.
Councillor Jackson.
Thank you, Chair. Yeah, no, I totally agree with Councillor Finn's notice of motion and fully support it. And it does have effects in other areas as well. And I can think of one case that I've been working on, but to no avail. In like a rural area where you have like a cluster of houses, there's going to be like 68 houses. But the legislation through DFI is, I think, a minimum of 10 or 12. So this cluster of houses originally had lighting through NIE, like it's like a historical scheme that they would have provided. So it was actually removed. So basically, the lights were removed from this area, which left the residents in complete darkness. So they have actually lost their street lighting, but because they don't fall under the legislation of DFI's legislation, we can't get the lighting reinstalled. And this area has had thefts and vandalism. Their cars are parked out on the road and stuff. So it's just a real, you know, devastating impact on their safety and sort of well-being. So definitely, I'd say there's different cases like that, and that's like a rural area especially as well. So I do support the need for it, definitely, yes. So thank you, Chair.
I don't see anyone online wanting to speak. Am I mistaken? Oh, okay. So we have a proposed and a seconder. Are we happy to move forward with the amended motion?
Agreed.
Okay. All right. So next item, sustainability charges for financial year 25-26.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to update the SD committee in relation to charges applied by the sustainability section for services within their remit. The report presents the annual review of scale of charges for 25-26, which are proposed to remain the same as financial year 24-25. The charging structure will take effect from 1st of April 25 until 31st of March 26. And this includes burial charges, market charges, mooring fees at Newcastle Harbour. So the recommendations are that members are asked to consider the report and approve the following the pricing structures as set out in the appendices of the report. Thank you, Chair.
Just for interest, are there exceptions? Are they the same as last year?
They're the same as last year.
Same as last year. Okay. So do we have a proposer and seconder for this? Terry.
Chair, thanks so much. And Connor, thank you for presenting the report. And I'm happy enough that we do proceed with the recommendations that you've outlined in 3.1. So happy to propose to go ahead with the message.
Can I get a seconder?
I'm happy to second that. Could I also ask a question as well, just in relation to Monk's Hill in Newry, because I have been working through quite a number of complaints about cleanliness and upkeep of the cemetery, and it is something that I had raised, and in fairness, every time I raised it, it was action. But I think the feedback that I had got that there weren't enough bins up in the cemetery, and they were overflowing. Could I get a wee update on that, if there had been any progress in that area? Thanks.
Yeah, respond just through the chair. Thank you for that. We've recently undertaken a review of Monk's Hill, and we've set in place basically regular facilities checks now that are going to be done. They're going to take into account things like cleanliness, you know, around whenever the burials are taking place. We're looking at all the defects and reporting those defects through. So I think we've really focused in on this based on the complaints we've had over the last sort of 12 months or so. So hopefully going forward, these facility checklists are going to help to really be more proactive to improve that.
Okay. Happy to move on. We've had a proposal from So home to hospital.
Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to seek member approval to provide continued funding from the 1st of April 25 to the 31st of March 26 to support the Home to Hospital volunteer driver schemes in both Sleatgullion and the Mourns, and that expressions of interest are sought from suitable community and voluntary sector organisations to administer the scheme from the 1st of April 2025. As highlighted in Section 2.2, there were 266 registered users and 368 trips undertaken to medical facilities within the Mourns area. And in the Sleatgullion area, there were 45 registered users and 175 trips undertaken within the year. Members are requested to note that the report and approve the continued funding for the Mourns and Sleatgullion Home to Hospital volunteer driver schemes from the 1st of April 25 to the 31st of March 26. And for Council to seek expressions of interest from community and voluntary sector organisations to administer the scheme, subject to funding being identified.
Thank you, Chair. Could I seek a proposal and seconder and any comments thereon? Henry.
Yeah, thanks, Chairman. I've no problem with the scheme, but I thought the numbers of people benefiting from it are pretty minimal for 35,000 a year. I'm just wondering, how is it advertised? How do people qualify for this service? Thank you.
Can we answer that question, please?
Okay, the scheme is undertaken through Bolster Community Association. I don't know if you know that at the moment. That's who undertakes the scheme on behalf of the councils. In terms of qualifying criteria, I'd need to come back to confirm it, exactly what it is, but it is in terms of being a certain age over 60 is my thoughts around that, but I would just like to confirm if it's 60 or 65 and any other criteria around that. Do you think that the numbers are low? Is that what it is?
Yeah. Just how do people find out?
Yes. You take the trips to and from, yes, that's exactly what it is. I can come back, if, even if you wanted, you know, numbers over this previous year, just for a bit of comparison to you,
yeah,
in terms of has it dropped off,
yeah,
for a bit of comparison, mm-hmm. because I do think that that might be important to show
yeah.
if you're happy with that.
Yeah.
I can come back to you directly on that, Councillor Riley. Thank you.
So we can get a value for money report at a future meeting. Okay, do we have a second? I don't see anyone online wanting to speak about this. Do we have...
Sorry, Chair, I've indicated I want to speak. Councillor Taylor.
Sorry, Chair, you need to speak.
Okay, pardon me, David.
You're okay. Chairperson, I'm only too glad to second the report. I think I'd like to place on record our heartfelt appreciation for everybody who's involved in this volunteer driver home to hospital scheme. I think it's brilliant. No, and often it's only opportunity that people who avail that service have contact with people outside their own immediate family circle, or in case there's a lot of people there on their own. And I think it's a worthy scheme, and it's worthy of support. But I also, in my own area, we have down community net, you know, the buses, and I know a lot of community transport are under pressure, but I'm just wondering, is there anything that the council could do to send poster the pinpoint, you know, community bus providers, you know, who again, like these volunteer drivers do a brilliant job, and I know funding is tight at the minute, but is there anything along the lines that maybe the council could do in addition to secure more funding for such a vital lifeline? But again, happy to second the paper.
Thank you. I'll take that question after we hear from David. David, you want to speak?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Yeah, listen, Chair, I'm very supportive of this scheme and have been in the recent years that it was brought forward to council as well. My own district electoral area benefits from it, and you know, I certainly recognise the support that it offers to the most vulnerable and isolated, you know, members of our community who depend on this service really for attendance of vital hospital appointments. So, you know, I think we as a council obviously should be looking to support it again for the year ahead. But I think obviously note Councillor Riley's comments about how well known the scheme is. I certainly believe there probably is people within the community that aren't aware of the full details of it, and if we as a council can help and assist with the promotion of that and with whatever agency may take it forward for the year ahead. I know it has been both for community in recent years, but if we can obviously play a role and look at how it can be promoted as a service. And obviously there is a limited resource for it, and we'll have to work within that confines as well. But if we can, you know, obviously make it more available and more awareness around it, we should look to do that too. But certainly I'm very supportive of it. I know of people that have availed of it in recent years, and it's certainly they have appreciated that service being at hand for them at times whenever they've needed that, particularly whenever they've, you know, probably very, very important health appointments where they've needed that support to be there at. So I'm glad that we can take it forward for the year ahead again as a council.
Thank you, David. Do you want to respond to the question from...
First of all, I'll just come back to Councillor Taylor's point, just to say that I will look at the promotion of the scheme through the community and voluntary sector, and then look at what the council can do to assist on the promotion of the scheme. So I will do that. I suppose coming back, Councillor Andrews, considering Downpatrick and the County Down Rural Community Network, and in terms of Down Community Transport, we can look at that and look at what schemes are in place in that area and compare it to the side of the district and liaise back directly with you if you're happy with that, just for comparison. Yeah, thank you.
All right, we have no more speakers. We have a proposer and seconder. Are we happy to move forward? All right, thank you. So the next is a response from the Department of Health consultation on hospitals.
I'm on this transition.
Well, it's your own decision, but I do remember when I was on the trust, I was able to participate in discussions because I just declared the fact that I was on the trust.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Happy with that? Thank you. Thank you, Chair. This paper is for decision. The purpose of this report is to seek member approval of the response to the consultation entitled Hospitals Creating a Network for Better Outcomes by the Department of Health. The consultation document is to support the widespread engagement with communities, clinicians and society as a whole and how we reconfigure our hospitals, as clearly laid out in Appendix 1. Members are asked to approve this consultation response, as I said, laid out in Appendix 1, entitled Creating a Better Network for Better Outcomes, for Better Outcomes by the Department of Health. Thank you.
So, Henry, if someone was in before you.
15.
Yeah.
Thanks, Chair, and thanks, Sinead. Look, I'd be really, really happy to propose the adoption of this paper this evening. I'm grateful to officers for putting it together. You know, obviously at the time that I brought the notice of motion before full council, the consultation was still ongoing and we had called for the Department of Health to facilitate an in-person public information session in Newry in relation to the consultation. Now, they didn't do that, and I think that that created a sense of anger locally that people weren't been heard or weren't been listened to, or worse even, that the department had no interest in what local people were saying. So I'm very reassured that this council has taken the stance that it has. I think the consultation response is very, very strong. It doesn't just speak to the need to have an area hospital in Newry for the sake of having one. It speaks to the very pronounced and demonstrable need that we have in this town and in this district. And I note, just in closing, I think it's actually quite a powerful statement at the end of it, that the location of the 5 proposed area hospitals with 24/7 level 1 emergency departments are concentrated within a 30-minute drive time from Belfast and in Derry. I think the proposals that the Department of Health have made aren't terribly well thought out in terms of providing access to care for people in all parts of the north. And I think that what our council has done is it stepped into that space that was left by the Department of Health, who did not have that public meeting. And our council has presented the views of local people very clearly and fed that into the consultation. So I'm grateful for that. And as I say, happy to propose this.
Thank you, Henry.
Yeah. I just wanted clarification. To what extent do you agree or disagree with the description of the type of Northern Ireland hospitals as presented in the framework?
Which number is that, Henry?
What number?
Q6 on the consultation document. Just that we strongly disagree with what the proposals are. Don't worry about it now, Sinead, but it's just curious in a way we strongly disagree with it, you know.
So, in reading it, it was the interpretation and our officer's view that the Daisy Hill Hospital should be treated as an area hospital, and that's why we strongly disagree. That is outlined. I'll just find the relevant paragraph for you. So the last paragraph of question 9, it also says, to identify mechanisms for establishing Daisy Hill as a cross-border area hospital. So we believe council here and the officer's response is that it's an area hospital, and therefore that's why to that question was we strongly disagreed.
Okay.
So that's not how it was interpreted. You know, that's not where Daisy Hill was sitting.
Right.
Thanks very much, Chair. And first of all, a place record of all the work that's been done, and I know hospitals are very important. They are a very important lifeline, and they provide invaluable services to the communities and the areas. You know, And I think, you know, and I support every effort possible to keep our hospitals, you know, going, like the Daisy Hill. I support them too. But, you know, when I look at the Down Hospital, you know, I think I'm just a wee bit concerned about with the downgrading. You know, actually, a lot of colleagues have contacted me to raise this about the, what they see as the downgrading of the Down as set out in the current plans. But we feel that it is special circumstances and it needs to be treated as such. Because that's we were within 16 miles of Belfast, you know what I mean? And, you know, just people feel that it's something not a local hospital, but, you know, they feel it's a lot lower than being classed as a local. So, again, it's just, I brought it up from this angle, but I wholeheartedly support the ethos of our contribution to the survey, whatever. So, again, I just was asked to pass those points on, but thank you.
Could I just clarify that this report was primarily focusing on Newry as an area hospital and not as the Down under the hub and spoke mechanism within the Bangor report? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, Southern Trust. Okay. All right, just to clarify that. Yes, you're quite right.
Keep our hospitals open and fully operational.
And obviously, just to make my own point here, I think Belfast City is the most over-medicated city in the United Kingdom. And there is no other city that has more than two facilities within such a small area as Belfast City. So just to record my agreement with this. Do we have any? We've got a proposal and a seconder. Okay. Thank you, Helena. Can we all say that we're happy with this and happy to let it go forward? Yeah. Well, we probably have this bit here. There, isn't it?
Right.
Okay, so this is the S&E Committee, Wednesday, 19th of March 2025, and the following items will be held in closed session, items 8 to 10. Items 8 to 10 are deemed to be exempt under paragraph 3 of part 1, schedule 6 of the Local Government Act, Northern Ireland 2014. Information relating to the financial or business affairs of any particular person, including the council holding that information, and the public may be by resolution be excluded during these items of business. There's no press to remove from the meeting. Is there?
Yes, if you just do ask for
proposal. Okay, so I have a proposal and a second to go into closed session. And then when we're happy that we are in closed session. Are we in closed session, yes?
No, I need to close session.
Okay, can I have a proposer and seconder, please? Okay. Great reluctance to propose and second that we go into closed session here. Thank you. And seconded by Councillor Jackson. Okay. So, whilst in committee, the following items were agreed. Item 8, business case for monitoring and line rental of council public space CCTV. On the proposal of Councillor Andrews, seconded by Councillor Jackson, it was agreed to approve the recommendations of the business case as per section 2.2 of the officer's report. Item 9, ARC21 Joint Committee in committee minutes of the 30th of January 2025 and members' bulletin of 27th of February 25. On the proposal of Councillor Finn and seconded by Councillor Fian, it was agreed to note the documents. Item 10, minutes of the Cleansing and Refuse Task Force of the 19th of February 2025. On the proposal of Councillor Finn and seconded by Councillor Behan, it was agreed to note the minutes. That's it. All right. So moving on to item 11, where I think we just have to note the minutes, isn't that right? Okay. Well, I'll propose them because I was there at the meeting. Can I get a second there? Thank you very much. I'll move it. Sinead?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think we're finished for the night then, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you all.